On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Way too soon.
That's heard 1,000 times. Where are you going with that big fella? Nowhere now.
We're back, you needy bastards. Getting all kinds of Twitter. Hey, what did you think of, and what are you going to talk about? And you, it's a fucking long weekend, man. Except you. You working like a schlub, but not in the studio.
No, I'm Monday you're talking about. I'm taking that elsewhere.
Yeah, well.
Forget it.
Forget it.
Forget about it.
So, you greedy bastards who apparently had nothing else to do but sit on your Twitter machines and wonder when we were going to have something to say. I was quite busy at the lake.
I always got a pile of shit to say.
Well, that's true. Just not always with a microphone in front of you.
Or useful.
Yeah, well.
Always entertaining, not always useful.
I should send you on your way with a microphone.
Wandering about. Call it episodes in educating people.
Mm. Hey? Rob's having another episode, I think, is probably the better title.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? And funny you should say. Again, this is my common beef. I'm at the beer store. Why can't you live in a place? Why can't the studio be close to an LCBO?
Well, it is close to an LCBO. It's close to...
Where's the LCBO?
Hunt Club.
Yeah. Psh, bah. Again, it's not a walking distance.
What? It depends how much you like to walk.
Okay, that's a good hour and 20 round trip.
Fuck you. It's actually not all the way down at Hunt Club.
It's actually down to Hunt Club.
How about
Club
the one
right.
That's like right beside your office?
That's a 20-minute walk and then catch a bus from there. Anyways, beer store. I'm wandering by it. And so today, fantastic weather in the nation's capital.
Oh, gorgeous.
High 20s. Sunny, not that humid.
Yeah.
Douchebags at the beer store. Okay, like low rent. Not only is there a dollar store there, the beer store. You got this guy backed up. He's got the trolley out for his empties, and he's driving. I don't know what this is. It's a station wagon K car.
Nice.
If nothing says you're already down and out, then you're driving a 20-year-old K car station wagon.
That was my first car.
The back is popped open. And it smells like empty beer.
Love it.
And three-day-old cigarette smoke.
Nice. So he's a visiting from Quebec.
What? You're like, do you live in there? Did you drink those beers in there and smoke a carton of Craven? Like, what the hell is going on here?
He's sleeping in his car enjoying Canada Day week in the nation's capital. He's camping out, man.
Dirty bastards. The beer store is so down and out. Again, another guy saying, "Hey, before I order, can I just check to see if I got enough on my card?" I'm like, "Holy fuck!" You know what? If you have to check, you don't need the beer.
You shouldn't be spending it on beer.
Hey, diapers and pablum, douchebag.
pretty sure he's a dad. You're just that's what he's living off these days.
This is it. Breast milk all around, friends.
All right.
I just, you know what? I hate that.
I'm getting that, man. You're coming through loud and clear.
All right. All right. Dirty people. I hate dirty people, too. And I'm just marinating in them right at this moment.
It is odd. And I get to the common listener that this is going to come off as me defending myself. My building is reasonably nice.
It is. For sure it is.
And it's certainly an upgrade on where we started these shows. But I will certainly grant you that putting this beer store in the same plaza as the Dollarama, and I think there's a McDonald's right there, and
there's an
independent
Toys R Us,
yeah,
which honestly that's where low rent people go and they let their kids run around. I'm not really buying anything. I'm just gonna let my kid look around and window shop and put boogers on the plastic
on
clear
everything.
Part.
Yeah,
you're like, come on, man.
A friend of mine's kid's birthday this weekend.
Yeah,
so I'm in the Toys R Us today, looking for. And this is clearly a generation gap thing. And I can say it because I didn't find it, so I went with something else. So if by chance they're listening, they don't listen, so it doesn't matter. I was looking for Toy Story stuff. And
There's a recent toy. There's like 18 Toy Stories.
I think there's three.
I know, but I think there's some offshoots, right? Like where like the pig makes his own movie or...
I would watch that.
Mr. Potato Head or whatever the deal is, right? They go off and they fornicate.
So all I want, it's nothing complicated, nothing whatever. I've got one thing in mind, and to go with it, I want a plush Buzz Lightyear and the cowboy, a Woody, right? The two main characters.
Calling out for a Woody.
Not at the Toys R Us.
I'd prefer it not to be plush, but that's okay.
Right. So I'm walking around and there's Paw Patrol this, and there's Pepper Pig that, like all shit that, and I just feel like being, oh, you kids don't know what's good, right? Like there's one tiny Toy Story shelf is what it says, a big Toy Story sign above it, and on it is not one thing Toy Story. It's Cars 3 or it's what.
Oh.
So I left in shame.
Speak to one of Toys R Us finest employees?
No, because the front desk was, we did find some stuff for my niece, so I mean, that's really more important, right? But than my friend's kid, right? But
this is the same niece that couldn't make you a card on your birthday?
I choose to blame her parents, not her.
Okay, but that's, as we said on the previous,
I don't think we did. I think we said that in the kitchen, but okay. I'm glad we're bringing it up here. But no, that's okay.
Then I'll say no more on that.
As we're standing at the counter waiting to pay, there are three kids just running rampant throughout the store. No sign of a parent. Like, just...
See, they're strays from the McDonald's fun room or playground, whatever that is down the road.
It's a shame they weren't struck crossing the street, right? That's
there you go.
Really just a terrible
just
shame.
And you know
that would be a suitable... And I'm sorry that your child had to die, but that would be a suitable lesson for a bad parent.
Good luck with your next six. Hope you do a better job.
Yeah, I don't, though. Anyway.
Well, that's a heartfelt.
Yeah, wow.
Welcome to summer.
Yeah, normally you only get that stuff. It's too hot. Normally only get this fucking magic on Audio Whiplash. But
just hating a bunch of people.
Don't worry. We're going to get to you in a second, Edmonton. That's it.
Okay.
What'd you think of...
Free agency?
Yeah. We're going to kind of kick through this. We had talked about a couple of different ways of doing it. I'm going to tell the good listener. We're going to do Toronto separately because there's some interesting stuff there. And
because it's that important, ladies and gentlemen.
To me, yeah.
Center
really,
of the
I'm the one
fucking
running this
universe.
Shit, so, well, I didn't think we could fill a full show on Nate Thompson to the Sens, so we'll fucking...
How dare you?
...work that into...
You're totally glossing over Max Reinhardt.
I've never heard of Max Reinhardt.
I had no idea there was a third Reinhardt brother.
Like literally right now, I had no idea you brought him up.
He's the oldest one.
Oh, that's a shame. You mean that best Stahl brother who never made it that we were all
so,
Jared?
So Max will be starring in Belleville this year.
Okay.
But
and for years to come.
Well, and forever.
Yeah. He's going to buy the fucking the cabaret hotel down there. I'm familiar with the Belleville
establishment. I don't know anything about Belle Vegas, right? I'm going to have to leave that all to you.
No, I think on one of our trips next season, we're going to stop in Belleville for a night, see a B-Sens game, and then hit the Belleville nightlife.
Well, they've made changes to the arena. I'm interested in actually seeing what that looks like.
They are, yeah. And maybe we should get David Foote back on. We had him on when they first made this announcement. He'll tell us how that's all working out. But I think on one of our many trips next year to Southern Ontario, leave early, stop in Belleville, see what's happening with the B-Sens.
And you look, just before we get into this,
yeah,
with Binghamton now moving to Belleville, right on the 401, Montreal's farm team, I think, is now the Rocket. Am I right? They're in Montreal as well?
I thought they moved to, and you know, because we've traveled to Montreal so many times, I always mix these up, Dorval or Val-d'Or.
Okay, no, two different places.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
Dorval is part of Montreal.
Okay, where the train I believe they is. Are in Dorval.
Okay, I think they're in Laval.
That also sounds likely.
Okay, that's where the Rocket are, I believe.
You got any more end-of-word fucking sounds, Quebecers?
Yeah. Okay, and so, yeah, there's a bunch of Moles and there's a bunch of Saints.
Yeah,
and that's
all right. But it's in the 401-ish area, well, yes.
Yeah, and you look at with Toronto in Toronto, you have Tampa still in Syracuse.
Yeah.
You start to look at how that Atlantic Division, it's a nice little...
Is that what it's called?
No.
I have no idea.
I'm talking about the NHL Atlantic Division,
okay.
Right? In terms of rivalries and...
Fuck, we're going to get more Jake Dotchin knocking out Marlies left, right, and center.
Nice.
Please. Yeah, I'm sure.
More of that, please.
Ended fucking Freddie Gauthier's career, almost blew out Matthews.
Oh, the goat.
Freddie the limp, right?
Hey, so just before we get into this, yeah. I'm clearly straight. Somebody today was saying, you know, baiting somebody else on the radio saying, yeah, how's your blue team doing?
I'll hang up and listen.
And he was, no, it was two on-air people referring to the Blue Jays.
Oh.
And he's saying, I don't cheer for anything Toronto. I hate all Toronto. You can't be, because the Leaf fans are Blue Jays fans, are yada, yada, yada.
Raptors.
Argos and Raptors fans. They're all the same people. They're just changing their jerseys. They're douchebags, all of them. How can you be a Jays fan? How can you support those people?
Well, you and I have had this conversation on air before.
Well, to me, I'm fascinated by it.
Oh, fuck Toronto. Fuck, yeah, go Jays. Hey, why don't you go be a Mariners fan there, Vancouver? Right? Like.
Yeah. Well, that's what this guy said. Well, I'm actually a Mariners fan.
Well, fuck him then. He's an idiot and he's probably a Canucks fan. So,
no, he's actually an Oilers fan.
Well.
Well, even worse.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
So, anyways, to me it was interesting.
And you have segued nicely.
I hate the Raptors because
you hate basketball.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Argos. I hate the Argos too.
I got to ask you, before in between the Renegades and the Red Blacks, did you just tune out the CFL? Did you have a rooting interest?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally tuned out.
Because you are a CFL guy from as long as I've known you.
Yeah.
But in that intermediate period.
Yep, nothing. Yeah. Dropped it. And you know what the thing is? I won't tune in to watch Edmonton-Toronto. I won't tune in. Like, I'm not really.
I really do either, eh? Like, I do. I enjoy the Canadian game, but I just. Because I did go for a while. It's a weird thing. I grew up in the GTA. I was an Argos fan.
Really, he grew up in the pimple on the ass of the GTA, but that's okay.
I don't have a great argument against that. when I moved to Ottawa, I had immediately, the Red Blacks were new. Whatever year they started, 2014.
We're 4 years in. This is the fourth year, so.
Yeah, okay.
2013.
Okay. So I moved up here in 2012.
Oh, you're way wrong with the 2014, you idiot.
So they were just hyping it up. They had gotten the franchise. They were getting ready. And it was fun. It was cool to get on board with something new, and I liked what they were doing. I knew the ownership group here for a CFL ownership was going to be pretty good. They already had good stakes in the community.
All local.
Yeah, and I got excited. There wasn't a tinge of, I'm going to switch to the Sens from the Leafs. But for some reason, with the CFL,
there was no allegiance. He had no allegiance to the Argos.
I guess. Like, it's not like I cheer against them now, and if I am watching a game against someone else, I'll probably still side with Toronto. But I had no problem jumping to the Red Blacks. And that
was the analogy, right? Like somebody said, well, it's not like there was the Ottawa Lynx played in the major leagues, or, you know, there was a lot of people here who were Expos fans.
Right.
right? But it just sort of, yeah, all right, I don't give a shit about that. They got a lame logo. Right?
Yeah,
that's
whatever
it.
That was, yeah.
Well, and I was never, right? I was, since I was young, loved the Jays.
Yeah.
And they were good, right? In the early 80s, Damaso Garcia, Alfredo Griffin, that whole sort of, when they first started in, right? And then you just sort of move up through the John Cerruti, the Dave Steeves, Jimmy Keys, you know, Lloyd Mosby, Willie Upshaw. Right?
Former Jays color guy, John Cerruti with Brian Williams on CBC every
Rance
Saturday.
Rance Molnick, Garth Orge, these sorts of things, right? Yeah. And so to me, yeah, I've always been a Jays guy. Always, 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 always. Right? And so, yeah, it's weird.
So let's move into some hockey, since for the next 2 months or so, there will be probably very little hockey to cover.
We could just carry this conversation on that we just had now.
Right.
Things that may involve sports, may involve nudity, may involve alcohol. I'm not sure.
May involve kids getting struck by cars outside.
In and around
Toys R Us
a sporting theme. I'm not sure.
This just broke today. It wasn't on the agenda, but they make the Connor McDavid deal official in Edmonton. It's 8 years, 12.5 mil, as opposed to the reported 13.25. So it's $100 million over 8 years, essentially. I guess in theory,
it's crazy, crazy cash.
You wonder if you float the 13.25 so that when you come out with the 12.5, you go, oh, thank God. Well, even though it's still an astronomical fucking.
And it works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought. I'm like, oh, those stupid bitches. They're going to set the marketplace and it's going to crush everybody else.
Right.
And Erik Karlsson in a year from now will be looking for a contract. And
I wonder if
they pay him $13.25, then.
I'm just thinking of this now. Do you think they did it just to fuck with Montreal? It's going to be $13.25 for Connor. Well, we better give Price $10.5 and then go, ah, just kidding. It's $12.5.
Yeah. No.
I don't either, but.
No. But
fuck Montreal.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that.
I think you have to. It's still 12.5. It's still crazy money, but
he is a market unto himself. Like, I don't buy a lot of this. The more I think about it, I think all the talk about Leon Draisaitl's number going up because of it, his comparables are like Evgeny Kuznetsov just signed 7.8 mil over the next 8 years. That's Draisaitl's class.
Draisaitl gets more than that
because he should. Or, like, we're talking about one season. Remember, the year before that, he sent back.
I think in free agency, so that contract aside, right, the McDavid contract aside, I think the Price number stands out. There was a lot of, in air quotes, people, reasonable contracts. I don't think anybody necessarily outside the Capitals crazy overspent. In general
Toronto
terms.
Overspent. And okay. We'll get to that in
a separate show. Yeah. But I'm talking about the obscene
right
amounts.
To be clear here, you don't believe Edmonton obscenely overspent on McDavid.
No, I think he is. Clearly, you're talking about a 20-year-old who's already the Ted Lindsay Hart Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Right? In his second.
100 points.
In his second and first full season.
Yep.
Right? Oh, and let's double back. And I'm okay with doing this to 2 summers ago, me saying, bah, he's going to be a 52-point guy.
All the best. Bah, it's just,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he was. I was right. He got under what I said he would get. Now he missed half the season.
All it took was some fucking goon to break his collarbone.
Hello, Paul Kariya. What do you have? What do you think of that?
Rob's throwing down fucking hitman money.
What is it?
Just to win a fucking invisible beer bet.
20s. Yes, yeah. See my Blue Jays making the wild card in the all-star position. See that bet. That's the same thing.
Don't think I don't have iPhone reminders set all over the place daily to check those.
And we'll cover that maybe on the next show too.
Sure, yeah.
No, I don't think it's ridiculous money. It's ridiculous money. But it's not. It's to me that is he is.
He's $2 million better than Patrick Kane. So if Kane is 10.5, oof.
Yeah. And you know what? People are going apeshit on this whole. You can't. You're going to hamstring your team. You make too much money. It leaves less money for you to be supported or surrounded by a good supporting cast. Hey, Pittsburgh has Crosby and Malkin. Now making less money.
Right.
Chicago has Taves and Kane, right? And now in and around those, you throw guys like Hossa, you throw guys like Kessel or whoever it may be. Those two teams have six cups between them.
Right.
Something tells me you can go Draisaitl at 8 or 9.
Right, but you can't go Draisaitl at 11.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah. And that's the point here that – and I said we did an Unforced Errors podcast last week when this all these rumors were flying around, and I said you can give Connor McDavid 13.25, and that's probably under what he's worth. You can't give Chris Russell 4. You can't give Lucic 6. You can't make mistakes in other places. You have to pay your guys, and then you don't make mistakes
when
after that.
When it comes down to this, and it's imperative that you, and we talked about this in a previous show, that you designate who your franchise guys are, right? And in Chicago, you have Keith, you have Kane, you have Taves, and then you have a bunch of other parts. Yep. Now, Hossa's been there,
yep.
But a bunch of other parts.
Well, that Keith's making way under, right?
No, I know, but in terms of money that they committed to, yeah, there was that core.
Yep.
And so all those other pieces shift, and you go, okay, you know, Versteeg, Bufflin, Ladd, you're out, and you replace them with Saad and Shaw and whatever else that is. And then you go, hey, you guys.
You're done.
You're out. And then you go, Panarin, you're out. And now Shaw, you're out. Saad, you're back in. And, and it's this whole sort of, it's the furniture in the home that you're moving around.
Right. And so the thing that I come back to is we use Edmonton here because it's Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
If you said you can have McDavid and Draisaitl for $20 million, you'd love it. I can do that, right? I can handle that. Yeah. If you said you can have McDavid and Draisaitl and Lucic and Russell for $30 million, you go, what the fuck have we done wrong, right? Well, you got $10 million tied up in those
two. And that's the thing is they've gotten rid of the Eberle 6.
Nuge is next.
You have RNH and you have Lucic both making 6.
And Lucic is undealable.
And well, that's it. And you
and Maroon's now doing his job.
You were gonna suck up those two contracts because to me that's the thing. If you look at Ottawa moving forward, Ryan and Phaneuf, those are fucking anchors around your neck.
Right.
Right. Those are gonna keep you from moving forward. You cannot have those mistakes.
Right.
Those are two mistakes. Those are two mistakes in Edmonton.
Yep.
Right. And you go, and the Russell one for 4 years.
When we've had our Western correspondent, Dean, responded after I put out that Unforced Errors and said it's slanted down so that it's cheaper towards the end and maybe you can move Russell, right? But I think $10 million in cap hit for those two guys is horrible.
Well,
that's no good.
16 for the three of them.
Who's the third? RNH, yeah. But I think he's going to go.
And Russell.
I think they'll move Ryan Strome eventually into that spot and he's got to go next.
What's your third line center?
Yeah.
Man.
I'd prefer to give him a...
And you know what? And Dean said the same thing, right? He said, I think they're bringing him in to play that third line center. And
I'd like to see him go with McDavid because he's quick.
What, with Strome?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that then you're paying that guy.
Yeah.
Pay that man his money.
Right. So we got some free agency talk here to get to, but this just broke and it was interesting. I think, like you said... they talk now after seeing the 13.25 number, the 12.5, and go, well, he left some for his teammates. It's just funny to sit, guys.
Yeah, that's 750. You're
just
picking in a guy at
the 12.5. That's fine, guys. Yeah. Please don't. Yeah. You don't go crazy. Yeah. I can live on 12.5. Yeah.
You're leaving that for some basement. That's your minimum salary guy.
Yeah, true. So, we decided rather than go through each of these teams and what was going to happen there, we would just kind of stuff that stuck out to us.
Winners and losers.
Let me start with a minor winner because I don't think there's going to be much on the bone here, but I thought it was a really good move. Nail Yakupov, Colorado. Oh. No, hold on. Nail Yakupov goes to Colorado for 1 year, $800,000.
Yeah, see, to me, Colorado is one of your losers. What the hell are those guys doing out there?
All they did.
Hey, Bernier, $3 million bucks almost.
Someone's got to play goal, and Varlamov's not going to stay healthy. So,
or out of jail, or whatever.
I'm not saying Colorado is a winner. I am saying Yakupov.
I know, and you're
because
right.
Because someone has to. So you're going to get minutes.
Because the sample size,
McKinnon.
In Edmonton and in St. Louis isn't big enough for you.
I just think if you're ever going to get a chance to rebuild your career, if take a chance on a team where you're going to play number one power play minutes with at least Nate McKinnon and maybe Matt Duchene, because fuck, that's a gong show at the moment.
Right.
But you'll get your minutes. And if you cannot Get it done. He can be like the analogy that I keep coming back to is Nicholas Hagman in Toronto. Hey, guy had a 25 goal year. Yeah, because someone's going to score. No matter how bad you are, someone will score goals.
You know the analogy I keep coming back to is Filatov coming to Ottawa.
How'd he do here? I don't recall.
Terrible.
Okay.
Gone.
And he may do terrible.
Hey, Philly don't back check.
But that one year. One year, right?
At the minimum.
That's a worthwhile gamble on a former number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And if he gets himself 15 goals.
Where's Patrick Stefan? What's he doing these days?
If he gets himself 15 goals, he'll get another job in the league. And if he can't do it there, then he'll end up back KHL. In the KHL or something, and that's fine. But I think that's a worthwhile gamble.
All right.
On both sides.
And to me, micro view on that, yeah, you're right. There's not much downside to it.
I can't hear that enough. Because I don't get too often.
Right. There isn't much wrong with that deal. You've thrown less than $1 million at him.
Right.
See what happens. You got McKinnon out there. You still got Landeskog. You got Duchesne for now. Anyways, whatever else happens. See what shakes loose. They're a terrible team.
Yes.
Right? That is garbage. Hot garbage. Okay. But when you look at the grand scheme of things and you go, what are you doing there? What is happening? Bernier, did you not see him single-handedly throw away Anaheim's playoffs with the 25% rule?
Carlisle's going, finally out of Toronto, away from that guy into Anaheim, got a good team. Hey, who the fuck picked up this guy?
Anaheim doesn't make the playoffs this year, gets fired. Carlisle ends up in Colorado. That would be super.
Would love it. Bernier is waving. Hey, buddy.
Welcome back. But see, to me, the whole thing just smacks of desperation and confusion. What are you doing?
No, they're a mess.
In the grand scheme, like I said, when you look at the big picture and you go, yeah, okay, you've done shit. You've done nothing. You can't trade the guys you have that are worthwhile.
Right.
And you're signing busts of former number ones.
What do you got? First winner, first loser.
Oh, you know what, man? And it's funny because to me, in terms of, I look at, to me, Dallas Stars.
As a?
Winner.
Yeah.
Man, that's a home run. That's a home run they've hit in Dallas.
All the people in Montreal, and I got you as a loser shortly, so stick around.
Montreal, not me.
Yeah, well.
I had you as a loser before we got into the studio.
When you talk about Montreal, we offered Radulov the exact same contract. Yeah, no, you didn't.
Did you?
Because the tax difference in Dallas compared to in Montreal, ooh, baby, right? Unbelievable. So they bring in Mathot. They trade, get rid of Niemi.
You buy out Niemi.
Yeah. So Bishop, who we talked about on a previous show, I didn't like that deal. But for the next year or two, he's an upgrade. And they bring in Mathot to shore up that defense a little bit. They bring in Radulov. I doubt they play on the same line, but look out for that number one power play of Sagan, Ben, and Radulov. Holy shit.
So what you've done, Montreal, losers. Which we just talked about.
Yeah, and will again.
Radulov moves from Montreal to Dallas. Alish Hemsky moves from Dallas.
You happen to take a look at Hemsky's stats last year?
To Montreal, no.
Alish Hemsky, on that high-powered Dallas offense, comes to Montreal with, 4 goals last season and 3 assists.
And he's soft as baby poo.
Honestly.
Right. Oh, but don't worry. He helps them with their grit and their size down the middle. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He doesn't address any of their needs.
Neither did the trades they made beforehand. Nothing, man. And we might as well move from here in.
Just wait, though. I just want to finish on the Dallas thing.
Please,
and you've touched on it, right? To me, they have.
They also brought in Hanzel for.
Right.
Yeah.
You look at what they've got up front with Ben, Sagan, Radulov, Spezza.
Now Martin Hanzel moves in there.
Hanzel moves in, right? They're thin behind that with a bunch of million-dollar contracts.
Sure.
You look on D, you're going to slide Mathot in beside Klingberg, right?
And Dan Hamhuis is still there.
Hamhuis is still there. So there's your three.
Hopefully an evolving Jamie Oleksiak.
Right. So to me, I like, but they're thin. They're 4-5. I mean, they're 5-6 in terms of their D.
Yeah.
Very thin. But you have Hitchcock there now.
Yep.
You have Bishop. You know they're going to play a more structured defensive game with some serious game breakers up front.
And you can argue what this means in terms of what your expectation should be of that team, but they're going for it. They've added to this group because they think, and they're right, you've got this core, right, with Spez kind of approaching the end of his, but Sagan and Ben in their primes, Radulov showing he can contribute, bringing in Mathot, that is an organization that is shooting for a playoff run next year.
Well, and Spez is a guy, and they're paying him $7.5 million
yeah.
for a couple more years.
Was that not an Ottawa contract?
Nope.
Okay.
He went there as they flipped him, and then they signed him as a free. He had a year left when Ottawa flipped him for Chiasson.
Oh.
Well, a bunch of other guys, but garbage.
Yeah.
Nick Paul is the last thing that's left from that.
And he's
yeah.
Who got, he needs a big camp.
He's a poster boy for getting beat down by management. But you're looking at Spez playing on your second line, second power play unit.
Yep.
Just I look for a big season from him. Right, soaking up those gravy minutes.
Well, because I don't think they'll put Radulov with Ben and Sagan.
No,
I think you'll put Radulov down with Spez, and now you're looking at a good 1-2 punch, right?
And where does Hanzel fit, and those sorts of things, right? You sort of go, to me, they are under a more structured, as I said, Hitchcock system. To me, and some of these moves are not just free agent moves. Like to me, there wasn't a pile of stuff that was home run worthy.
No.
In and of itself.
Well, it was a soft class, right? It was
right. Now, where do you want to go next?
I want to move to Montreal just because they're kind of tied here. And I've got them as maybe the biggest losers.
They're losers.
Losers. And so...
losers!
In the last little while, and this isn't even going back a year when they ditched Subban, they have moved out just on defense. Because I know there's other stuff we can talk about up front. Beaulieu, gone.
Beaulieu.
Emelin, gone. As of time of recording, looking like Markov, gone. That's a lot on your end. Sergachev, who was supposed to make the leap this year, right?
And to me, Sergachev, to me, watching him in the first, in his little entry stint early last season, watching him in the Memorial Cup for Windsor, right? He's what they need.
Yes. He's exactly what they need. And that's what all the Montreal fans were so upset about, is you traded your biggest piece. A, you needed to keep him so he could help your defense. If you were going to deal him, you better be bringing back a center. Did you? No.
And so, he's what they need.
They also signed Carl Alsner to 5 years. And frankly, he got a little less than I expected because I thought someone would go crazy.
4.75.
Yeah. But that's way too much for what that guy does.
Well,
way too much for a defensive defenseman who doesn't defend. Like, his underlying numbers are terrible. And that's why when he got hurt in the first round of the playoffs, he was ready to come back sooner than they brought him back because they wanted Nate Schmidt ahead of him to rush the puck.
I was looking at some interesting stuff on Alsner today, right? And they're making some comparables to, because he's only 29, right?
Yeah.
They're making the comparables to Girardi.
Which is, I don't want to be, we'll get to Tampa. That's a loser move too.
Wait, okay. And Josh Georges. Right, just in terms of style of play, right?
That Leaf fans jump up and down that he refused to waive his no trade to come to Toronto.
Right, but in terms of rugged, sort of more physical style, shot blocking, all those sorts of things, and you look at those guys, and as the article pointed out, wicked nosedives on both those guys' careers post-30.
Yep.
Right? And you're looking at Alsner right on the precipice.
Here I am.
Hey, this is it. This is it. And so
you're at the part of the roller coaster where it's the last chance to go, I should get off right now. And you don't. And
the guys they've lost that you just mentioned, they brought in Schlemko.
So let me look at their projected defensive pairs here after this. Carl Alsner and Shea Weber.
And don't you dare.
Forever.
Don't you dare rain on Petrie. Don't you dare.
Jeff Petrie and Jordy Benn as your second pair.
Woo-hoo.
And
bodes well for the rest of the Atlantic, baby.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Schlemko. Oh, it's the Schlemko. We'll play with either, I don't know, Davidson is a young guy. They brought in Joe Morrow from Boston.
Yep.
That's bad. And as a Leaf guy, and as almost most teams at this point, I can't wait to sick all the little water bugs on.
Whoa.
Here, Kapanen, Soshnikov, Marner, Nylander, go, because you're going to circle those fuckers.
Because those guys,
no problem.
They're hoping to plaster up or drywall up a wall, because they're not moving the puck anywhere.
Best of fucking luck to you.
There's zero mobility there.
Right.
Right? They've just gone to from an area where they had Subban, they had Sergachev.
Yes.
Right?
Nathan Beaulieu, he was never going to be a number one-two guy. But
he was a puck mover.
Right.
And so you've gone to a spot now where Carey Price can only hope that everybody up in front of him is just going to take up space and
that's
block
all
shots.
That's it. And he just signed a $10.5 million deal, which he's worth that.
Sure he is. Best goalie in the world.
8 years. Did you really look at this and think this is your best chance to win? Because there's nothing about this franchise right now that says that to me. Thomas Plekanec is their now highest paid forward.
Yeah.
Jonathan Drouin. And look at everything you've shipped out. You left Radulov. He's gone. And if you are Alex Galchenyuk at this point, the way he's been treated, and he's going to be needing a pay change here in the next year or so, and they've been talking about trade Galchenyuk.
Yeah. Well, there's some ways they need to resign him now.
He's got to be looking at it and going, fucking pay me, bitch, because you have nothing else, and you've treated me like shit for 2 years now. You're going to pay me or trade me.
I smell a rebuild.
For the next 5 years with Carey Price making 10, I don't know what he was doing there. And I get it.
Well, he's taking his money.
You don't think other teams would have given him that money? 10-5 for Carey Price? It's a lot. It's tough to build your team around a goalie making that, but if there's a goalie worth it, that's it.
Yep.
So, I don't know. To me, that's...
I had them as huge losers as well.
Huge losers. Okay. What did you... the next one here I have, Trevor Daley to Detroit, 3 years for $9.5 million.
Okay, but wait, they've re-signed Xavier Ouellette.
Oh, well, thank God.
Come on, man, don't...
I don't know what that is.
Don't overlook Xavier.
What's Detroit doing?
Nothing.
And what's Daley doing?
Because to me, you're not paying that guy 3.5 or whatever he's making, 3.3.
Yeah.
Man.
But he's a good defenseman. And is he looking to go, I just won two cups. Let me go wherever they're going to pay me the most?
Yeah, of course he is.
If you're Detroit, are you rebuilding?
Nope.
No? Are you... I got this for Vancouver, too. I like some of their moves.
Anders Nielsen,
Michael Delsado, and Sam. Those are at good prices. But what are you doing?
But what are those guys?
Well, they're complementary pieces if you're going for it.
They're complementary pieces when you have pieces to complement.
Right.
Don't talk to me about
moves don't make
36-year-old Sedins or whatever they are.
Right. So Vancouver was closer to the bottom last year than they were to the top. And you only bring these pieces in to make a playoff run, and I don't think you're close to that. So really all you're doing is, again, delaying your fucking rebuild, which is...
Yeah. Welcome to that sweet, sugary, soft spot that a lot of Canadian... Ottawa.
Toronto for like 15 years.
You know, Calgary is another one of those things that you're in that sort of 9-10 spot in the conference. You're treading water. That's what that is. To me, another loser I had, New York Islanders.
Not infatuated with what they were doing?
Nothing.
They did beforehand. They made a couple of moves, right? I like Eberle to play with Tavares. That was before free agency.
Free agent signings?
Yeah.
Zero.
They stayed put, yeah. I did like Chris Kunitz to the Lightning. 1 year, $2 million. I got time for that on a team that thinks they're ready to contend, and I think they're right. Like,
well, they are going to probably win this division next year.
I think so, too. So for a team who looks to be wanting to go on a long run, is looking for a guy with experience, Kunitz can still move for $2 million. I got time for that at 1 year, all day, right?
Well, the thing is, to me, I'm not as to me. Clearly, look at him; he's a bit clutch in the playoffs.
Yep.
Right.
I think that's what you're signing.
He went 30 games or something without scoring a goal. Right. His best days are past.
And absolutely.
You're bringing him in. You're paying him 1.5 of that two. For his leadership, for his been there, done that kind of nature, right? Because beyond that, he's done. His career is over.
I think that's a cheap, long term. I think that's he can play with he's shown he can play up and down your lineup, right? He can play with Sid still, and he can play down with Matt Cullen.
To me, Matt Cullen, the role he played for Pittsburgh,
yeah.
And I'm saying Sid plays best with your Pascal Dupuis and your Chris Kunitz's.
Right.
Now Kunitz in his prime is getting fat off of Crosby.
Sure.
You're gonna see. I bet you mark this down. Kunitz north or south of 12 goals this year?
That's funny. I was going to say north or south of 10. So we're in the same neighborhood. I'll give him... Can I take the even? That's ballsy. I'm taking the even.
Okay.
He's taking 12 goals.
That is huge balls, yeah, and I'll give that to
12
you.
12 goals.
Because I'm going south, but to me, that's you're right. That's what I'm saying. He's going to get down there. And
so 10 in the regular season, but maybe 5 in the playoffs.
Right? All right. Like, and again, as I said, that's what they're bringing him in for.
That's right.
To me, now, my other winner, I would say, to me, and again, it's free agency, but it's really it's more what they did before,
right?
Sort of because of this interesting and sort of convoluted year. Calgary Flames
bringing in Hamonic.
To me, if you look at, they went from no goaltending, Chad Johnson and Brian Elliott, garbage, right? To you now have a 35-year-old
Brian Elliott was a top 10 goalie in the second half. And then he went back to being a bottom 10 in the playoffs.
Okay, but they had a 10-game losing streak, and then they went on a 12-game winning streak.
Yep.
To me, Brian Elliott has been always what Brian Elliott is, whether it's in you know, Colorado or it's in Ottawa or it's in St. Louis. St. Louis, he benefited from a Hitchcock system.
I'm so interested in how many people in Philadelphia that I've been reading think that was the perfect signing for the Flyers with Brian Elliott. You fuckers in Flyer Town have no idea what a good goalie is, do you?
No.
You just have no idea.
Seriously, they don't.
For years.
But they have a pile of goaltending prospects on the way.
Yes.
So really, Elliott is just a placeholder.
But just constantly, right? Roman Chechmanix, and we're going to take John Van Beesbrook over Curtis Joseph, and we're going to...
Emery after a double hip replacement,
right,
or whatever,
like all these
things.
Michael Neuwirth and Steve Mason is your Mason.
Michael Layton.
Steve Mason gets $4.1 million
all right,
in Winnipeg.
With Kulikov. That's
$4.3 for 3 years. When did he earn that shit?
Okay, but you know what? You look at the deep in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
If they can get.
He's not a $4 million defenseman for 3 years.
No, and he's had whatever that surgery he has. I can't remember what it was here.
He had something on his back last year, I thought.
Okay, so he's coming off of some serious.
Yeah. Like, who needs a back or a knee for hockey?
But so if you look at them bringing in Eddie Lack with, I think Carolina's picking up part of that salary still.
We're back in Calgary.
In Calgary.
Yeah.
Right.
And so Mike Smith.
Just in terms of, and then you've alluded to the Hamonic.
Yeah.
I think Calgary is right there in terms of their top four or
five.
They
also re-signed Michael Stone. I don't know why. I like their defense core a lot. I wouldn't have given Michael Stone 3x3. That's too much for what your top – you can put guy and guy at 5-6 with that top four.
Yeah. Well, when you look at it, it leaves their bottom six forwards thin.
For sure.
Right? But their goaltending is shored up. And when you look at – now you're talking about Mike Smith, you know, 4 years ago or whatever it was, a member of Team Canada – in behind, well insulated behind a rock solid decor.
Yeah.
And a forward group that's going to score you enough goals if they can keep enough out of their net.
Yeah. They look a lot like a poor man's Nashville kind of thing, right?
What do you mean a poor man's Nashville?
I'll take Nashville's top four over Calgary's every day. Every day.
To me, the difference on those two, let's make that comparison.
Yeah.
You look at the forward groups. Of those two groups, I'm taking Calgary's forwards.
Yep.
Over Nashville's.
Now they did just bring in
every day. Nick
Bonino and
fucking good for them.
Scott
man.
Hartnell
paying
at a million. Hartnell for $1 million is
yeah, but
a great
he's
signing.
Done. He's done. Where do you think he's playing? Anywhere outside their top four? I mean, outside their.
He's outside the top six.
For sure, he's flirting with fourth line duties.
I think.
And you're paying him correctly.
Okay, I think. I think Calgary's top six forwards is better than Nashville's, but not by the same degree that Nashville's top four defensemen are better than Calgary's.
Okay, I think Calgary's top
also,
six forwards...
Also, Nashville's goaltending may scare the fuck out of me, but...
Okay, this is it, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, I don't...
So is Calgary's,
I think
Lack is the starter there by the end of the season.
Well, and that'll be something worth watching.
Yeah.
Right? I hope Calgary doesn't do well. There's nothing about me that wishes well for them. I'm just talking about liking what they've done.
Sure, yeah.
And to me, you look at that and go, Calgary's top six is better, is sizably better than Nashville.
Outside of Monahan and Goodrow.
Okay, so what you're looking at, though.
So you have, I'll give you Johansson and Forsberg to match that. And then what? Like, to me, I'll take Johansson and Forsberg over Monahan and Goudreau. And everything else after that, they're just guys. They're just guys.
Guy. All right. Anyways.
Yeah.
To me.
That seems to be the only one we really, really disagree on.
Right. And it sort of discounts.
I do think Calgary improved. I'm just less sold on it than you. That's
okay.
All.
Yeah. And so then to me, you've gone on record saying to me, you think the Rangers were a big winner.
The Rangers, I think getting Shattenkirk at 6'6", I think it was, 6.6 over 5 years.
6'6"?
It was 6.65.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was for 5 or 6 years.
4.
4 years, okay.
Yeah.
Then that's going to wrap up right around the same time that Lundqvist wraps up, and you're probably having to reevaluate some things anyway. I thought for sure Shattenkirk would make close to 8.
See, Shattenkirk is a guy.
He badly wanted to be a Ranger. People have speculated that for a long time. I am so pumped Toronto didn't get involved in that. I think bringing him in at that number to essentially, like,
be a power play specialist.
Yeah. He's better than that, but he wasn't as good as.
So in St. Louis, he's playing behind Pietrangelo and Parayko on that side.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Washington.
Well, that was kind of the deal, right?
And you've said it, though. He was a shit show there.
In his own end.
That's what I'm saying. So you're bringing this guy in. He's going to play on a good team
in their
bottom two pairings on a winning team and be a power play specialist. To me, he doesn't make the Rangers hugely better.
Well, unless you look at it as we've gotten rid of Dan Girardi for for Kevin Shattenkirk, and I think that's a sizable fucking upgrade on that side of the ice, right? Girardi, by almost any metric, whether you want to use the old school metrics or the news, is a bottom 10 defenseman in the NHL, and Tampa gave him $3 million fucking dollars.
Yeah. No, and to me, Tampa.
I think Shattenkirk took a hometown discount, if you want to call it, because I think he's like a Vermont kid or something.
New Rochelle, New York.
Wanted to be a Ranger, took less to make that happen. I fully expected he would be around $8 million.
Yeah, and I think he's got to be saying somewhere in his head, now is the time that the Rangers choose to be judicious in how they spend their money. I'm a hometown guy. I want to come here.
I didn't want Shattenkirk because I thought the money in the term would be ridiculous.
And he was a mess in his own end.
But he was a mess in his own end with Brooks Orpik, who was also well past his prime. And I think 6'6", 5". For that guy is about the going rate. Look at what.
Who's
that fucker that came from Arizona to New York, now is in Florida? Keith Yandel. He's that type of guy. He'll put up some points. He's an offensive guy. And if you have other guys who can insulate that,
anybody
then
win
okay.
with Keith Yandel?
No one has won with Keith Yandel.
Okay.
Not one.
There you go.
But Pittsburgh.
Glowing endorsement number 101.
But Pittsburgh just won with Justin Schultz in their top pair.
5'5", that guy's making now.
Yeah.
You see, he just signed?
Yeah.
5'5" for 80
Good for
years.
You, buddy. For 80 years.
Edmonton couldn't get rid of that guy fast enough. What? And now
How's
he's
it going,
worth,
Edmonton?
Now he's worth 5 or 6 million.
Now he's got 2 cups.
Well, he's got 1. I think he was only here this year.
No,
he
was there last year.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, fuck.
Guys
you.
Living
fuck
large
you, Edmonton,
at this
exactly.
point, right?
Now he's got
He and Phil are just high-fiving each other. Remember the disasters we left?
Those Canadian teams. Shitbirds.
Some interesting stuff, man.
Okay, and just before we leave, I have nothing in front of me, right, in terms of
prospects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Plans.
Oh, I got plans. I'm going to knock over a liquor store.
Well, you're going to have to leave the neighborhood. We discovered ahead of this show.
Washington Capitals. What do you think of what's going on there?
A team in transition. If you look at what's going on there, I did just look at them not too long ago. Their top line will still be insane with Kuznetsov, Ovechkin, and Oshie. They're going to bring in Jacob Vrana, a Czech kid, who looks like he's going to be ready to take the next. He'll play with Backstrom on the second line.
They just gave Burakovsky.
Burakovsky is the other one I'm thinking of. He'll play on that line. He got a raise.
So they've lost.
And everything else after that. is just guys. Like Jay Beagle is going to play with on their fourth line with right. you know guy so and
they've,
guy.
They've lost Alzner. They've lost Shattenkirk. They've lost Nate Schmidt.
Yes, all of that is true. Their defense is an adventure. Orlov will play with Niskanen. John Carlson will play with Guy, and then Guy will play with Guy on the other pair.
Well,
and then
Orpik's still there.
Yeah, well, good for fucking Orpik.
Orpik is one of those three guys Orpik, that I just mentioned.
Orpik just fucking cost Kevin Shattenkirk $1 million a year.
If you could have played better, Brooks. Brooksy.
So get the fuck out of here, Brooksy.
Ben said once or twice.
Yeah, exactly. Braden Holtby and Grubauer in goal. Like, they're still a – they're not a President's Trophy winning team Grubauer, again, but they're still a – I'm surprised he didn't go, but he's still there. They took Nate Schmidt, right?
So $900,000
Yeah, not bad.
Loving the cap-friendly, too.
How do you not? It's so good, right?
It's got everything there, man. You're looking at it. I'm cruising through, and I'm hey, what about this, man? I want to click over here and see what – what are these guys doing?
Yeah, and the real one that I've been looking at here recently in the Toronto stuff is – you can, instead of looking at the salary cap, you can look at it with bonuses. If you click on AEV, like each of those columns, you can sort by that.
Yeah.
So you click on, instead of looking at, hey, cool, Austin Matthews only going to cost us $800,000 this year. Yeah, actually, no, with all his bonuses, and you can look at it with that number instead, right? So yeah.
It's super cool.
Capfriendly.com, check it out.
And anybody who, yeah, because to me, and I'm sort of late to the party on it.
Yeah.
Technology.
Anything.
Who knew?
it's a worthwhile spot to check out. The Caps, no longer a President's Trophy winning team, but still a playoff team, I think. And
but
Carolina, this is the last one I forgot I wanted to mention. Justin Williams signs back in Carolina and says, we're done losing. And no, you're fucking not. Because there is not, you're not passing Pittsburgh. You're not passing Washington. You're not passing the Rangers. Carolina is at best a wild card team in that division.
Well, see, and I don't think they're not crossing over. That team's not.
Right. Not into the, no. No. I just, I don't get it.
We'll save that nugget for
sure,
later.
But I don't get it. When everyone says how Carolina's on the up and come, I don't see it.
Foreshadowing? Justin Williams. Patrick Marleau.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that on the next one.
4-5. 6-2-5.
And I believe they had the same point total this year.
2 years. Oh, that douchebag third year.
I agree with that assessment of the third year. So
all right, then.
We will get into that on the
Ladies
next
Ladies and gentlemen, 2017.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Free agency. Boys and girls. Children around the world. Canadian forces serving overseas.
I think that's it, man.
Man, that's
some
it.
Winners and some big fucking Montreal losers.
Losers!
That's Talking in Sports. We'll see you.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.